Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachim Samach Dalet. We begin two lines off the top of the Amud, back to the Mizbeach and the various functions that were performed throughout the corners of the Mizbeach. Specifically, we discussed the Doraim Mar of corners. So you have the Kevesh leading up to the Mizbeach. Here you're coming into the Azara. This is the east side, the Mizrach side. Then you're heading over to the Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the west, that's the Marav. The Kevesh comes up the Doraim side, the south. And on the other side you have the Tzafon, the north side. So what happened on this corner? Doraim Marav. We discussed three things that would take place on the lower part of that corner, meaning below that Chut HaSirkur, below that red, halfway marker, that dividing line running around the encircling the Mizbeach at the halfway point up that wall. So three things that occurred below that divider, and three things above that divider. What are the three things that occurred milamata, below? Says the Mishnah, Shlesha Dvarim. One was the Chatas Oiv. So the Chatas bird that was processed there. Why over there? Hadamar, as we explained in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, because it's meant to be at the same location as the Hagasha, the tapping of the container with the Mincha material on that corner as well. And that takes us to the next item, Hagashas. Why in that corner? The Chsiv, we discussed this yesterday. V'gishol pnei Mizbeach, which requires that corner. What about Shiri Adam, the pouring of the leftovers of the Chatos blood? The Chsiv is called Dam HaPar Yishbech Elisei the Mizbeach. And again, Rashi brings the Gemara back on Daf Nun Gimel, where we learned that it's meant to be at the closest corner. So as you exit the Mizbeach, go down the ramp, you go to the closest Yisoid, right? The Yisoid was the foundation, which encircled most of the Mizbeach, and it reached this corner as well. It did not reach this corner. It would just went around the Mizrach and the Tzaf, and then, overlapped, came around the corners as well, but did not cover Darim and Mizrach. So the closest Yisoid would be over here, Darim Marav, on the bottom. So on the bottom, you did the Chatas Oiv, Hagashois, and Shir Adam. What about at that corner, above the Chut HaSikra? Three things as well. Melamala, what took place there, Nisuch HaMayim, Vayayin, pouring of the wine during the Karbanis, and also pouring of the water once a year on Yom Sukkos. So you poured it into like a container, which took you to the drain, the Shisin below the Mizbeach, and Vo'ila Sa'oif, the Oila bird, which was typically actually done at the other corner, at the Mizrach Darim corner. The Gemara will explain why. But Kshehi Rabba Mizrach, when there was extra traffic there, it exceeded the capacity of that corner, got crowded, so the Kohen would revert to this corner and do it over here at Darim Marav. Now why would they prefer this corner, the Darim Mizrach, for the processing of the Eilas Oif? Well, what was unique about that corner? My time, Rabbi Yechon Omar, because it was the closest corner to that compartment, in-ground compartment, as we're going to see in a minute, which ran on the floor alongside the kevesh. That's where the kohen would deposit some of the waste material of that oila bird. So this corner, the Darim Mizrach, was the closest to that deposit area for the waste. And that's why they did it over there. Omar Beichem, come and take a look how strong the Kayhanim were. Boyre, come, be impressed. Kama Godol Kayhan Shal Kayhanim, how physically powerful the Kayhanim were. Perhaps it was a physical power which was based on their spiritual resources. In any case, look, yeah, typically he would do the Oilas Oif at this corner closer to the Beis HaDeshen, but when there was overflow, he would relocate to this corner, to the Darei Marav, which was quite a distance from the Beis HaDashon, which was on the far side of the ramp. We're talking a long throw. He would have to toss the waste all the way over there, which was a really far throw. What's the lightest portion of the bird? The Meira of a Noitza, that's the crop, and the Noitza, the feather arrangement over it, so they would just like scoop out the whole thing and throw it. It was very light portion of the bird. It's not a flesh or bones, right? And at times, meaning when the kohen was compelled to do the oila at the far corner, at the marav darim corner, he would have to throw it a great distance. Pamim she hakoyin zarkun yosef maybe shloisha mam, more than 30 yam, he would have to toss it all the way to the Beis HaDeshen, which was located on the far side of the Kevesh, like we explained. And as we're going to see in the following Mishnah, which describes the exact location of the Beis HaDeshen, being all the way on the Mizrach of that Kevesh. This is not... So we have a Mishnah regarding a different topic altogether. This is actually regarding Tumas HaDeshen. So once a day, the Kohen would climb up on the Mizbeach and scoop out some of the burnt ashes and deposit it where? In this Beis HaDeshen. And where was it? As we're going to see. This is not al machto shel kesef. The Kohen would grab hold of a silver shovel, va'ol roisha mizbeach, climb up the mizbeach, opinas a gecholim eloch v'eloch, and scoop away, push aside the burning coals, so they can get to the bottom, really burnt out ashes, v'chotom min ha-mukolais ha-primius, mukolais is lashon of uchal, of consumed, from the real, deep inside, the burnt out ashes, he would take a scoop, and come back down v'yorid. Okay, let's follow his itinerary. He went up, scooped out, and is now going back. He gets back down. Okay, he's down the ramp. Gets down to the floor. And then he makes a U-turn. Okay, he turns his face towards Tzafon, which is that way. Right? So he's basically backing up. He's going back. How far? Now he's walking along the east, the Mizrach of the Kevesh. For how long? It's about 10 Amis. So now you know at the Beis HaDeshen, where he's meant to deposit his coals, are right there. Okay, to the Mizrach of the Kevesh, 10 Amis in. Okay, what does he do over there? Tzavar sagecholm al gabi ritzpa. He loads up the coals on the floor. Rochik ben HaKevesh lesha tfachim. Three tfachim moved away from the Kevesh, which is the Beis HaDeshen, where they would actually put all the other waste material, Malkam Shneisen Meira, used material, I should say, Malkam Shneisen Meira Venaitza, deposit the crop and portions of the bird which are not meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So that's the point that pertains to us. And what else will they put there? V'dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi, okay, the ashes, the clean out off the internal Mizbeach as well, that would be placed over there, V'amenoira. And the ashes, the burnt out material from the menorah, and actually the Gemara says that it was a miraculous phenomenon because it would just get swallowed into the ground. Otherwise it would have a whole dump in the Azara, which was not befitting. In any case, let's calculate the distance. Okay, if the Kohen were to do the Oila Sa'if at this corner, if there was overload on the other corner, he would come over to this corner, that's the Marav Darim corner. Now he has to toss the Meirah V'Noitza all the way over. I'm assuming he threw it. He threw it all the way over to the Beis HaDeshen, which was all the way across. Now, how far a throw is that? Let's make a simple calculation. The Kevesh itself was 32 Amos long, 16 Amos wide. The Mizbeach, the top surface we're talking now, is 28 Amos wide. So it's 6 Amos overlap on either side of the Kevesh. Okay? So you have the distance between where he's standing, to the Kevesh. You got 6 Amos. The Kevesh is up at 16. Okay, so now you're at 22. Okay? Now, the Beis HaDeshen wasn't near the Mizbeach. It was alongside the Kevesh. How far in? How far closer to the Mizbeach from the end of the Kevesh? So again, the Kevesh was 32 long. And as we said, Beis HaDeshen was 10 Amos in, putting it 22 Amos from the Mizbeach. So he's tossing this item across, it's across a diagonal of an imaginary 22 by 22 Amos square. Right? Again, it's 6 Amos to the Mizbeach, to the Kevesh, 16 over to the end of the Kevesh. How far off the Mizbeach is the Beis HaDeshen? 22 Amos. And he's throwing across on a diagonal. Okay? Now, as Rashi brings, there's a formula that Chazal worked with that a diagonal is 1.4 of the straight angle of the square. So it's about, more or less. So it's about 31 and a bit that he has to toss to get to the Beis HaDeshen. Look how strong and powerful those Kohanim were, says Rabbi Yechanan. Ask the Gemara, but Rabbi Yechanan spoke about the throw, exceeding 30 amma, merely 30 amma plus. But in reality, it's more than 31. Hanitvei mitlasim v'chad havyan. Why are we minimizing it? It's really more than 31. Makim gavri lechasha. The answer is, the kohen himself, as a person, takes up space, about an amma, right? Right? So that we don't have to count, because he's throwing in front of him. So he's standing at the corner. His body takes up an amma. We can deduct that, because the throw only takes place starting before him. Okay, so it's only 30 and a bit. So typically when you approach the Mizbeach, you go up from the right, and even if you go into the far corner, you have to go and encircle the Mizbeach. There are covered, we learn from a pasuk, you meant to go to your right, and actually the Kehana would face the Mizbeach as they're going around. So you'd face the Mizbeach and shuffle over to your right, derech yamin, and encircle, and then when he's done, he would continue encircling, finishing the circle as a 360 and come down the Mizbeach. So you would never back out the way you came, because that would entail going to your left, and you meant to go to your right. Except, three exceptions in the Mishnah. The three items that were addressed at this corner, at the Dorim Marav corner, on the upper part. The Nisach HaMayim, Nisach HaYayin, and the Oil HaSa'if, when there was extra traffic on the other side. In these cases, you would think, you turn right and go all the way around till you get to this corner. No, you make a straight beeline for this corner rather than encircling the entire Mizbeach. The question is why? Why do we make exception for these three things? My time, or Rabbi Yechanan, there were special reasons. Nesachim, when it comes to pouring the liquid, Shamis Ashno. Imagine you're going to encircle the Mizbeach holding these containers. They'll get affected by the smoke and get spoiled. So that required a direct beeline to that corner. Voilasoif, the Elisoif bird. Again, you don't want to take him around the Mizbeach and risk smoke inhalation. Shema Thomas Bosch might die from smoke inhalation. So you take him directly to his destination. V'raminu, we have a kasha from Rabbi Brisa, which discusses a Kohen Gadol. Now, the Kohen Gadol, as we know, had a green light, full access. He can do any carb at any time. Okay, so what did he do? Bodlo, lack of some Mizbeach. He decided, I want to do the Aktorah on the Mizbeach. So he's going to encircle the Mizbeach. Ma'inu Maschel. Where does he begin from? Like anybody else, he's got to go around. Mikaren Dremis Mizrachas, he comes up to Kevesh, starts at the Dorei Mizrach corner, and makes his way around. Mizrachas Tzvoinis, right? Tzvoinis Marovas, Marovas Dremis, and then he's holding by that corner where he wants to do Nisach HaYayin. So, Benoist L'Yayin Nasach, he's giving him wine to pour. Apparently, the word's understanding that he's encircling the Mizbeach, holding the wine. Apparently, it's not an issue. No danger to the wine. Amar Rabbi Yechon, no, I cover beregel. He's given his wine when he gets to this corner. He's not going to carry it around with him. It's going to get damaged, get ruined by that smoke. Amar Rabbi Dekanami, says Rabbi, the wording in the Brisa also indicates as such, that he wasn't really carrying his wine with him. He was making his round around the Mizbeach to do Haktara, but then when he got to this corner, they handed him the wine. The Ketani, it says, Noisnin lo yayin lanasach. When he gets to that corner, they hand him the wine. The Ketani doesn't say, Oimru lo nasach. He's already holding the wine. Here, they instruct him, go pour. They give it to him now because he didn't have it until now. Shmami, no, that proves our point. Tana Rabbanan. Now, Rashi asks the obvious question. Here we see that the Kohen Gadol has to encircle the Mizbeach in order to do Nisach HaYayin. And in our Mishnah, we say, no, you go straight to that corner. She says, big difference, because in our Mishnah, we're speaking about a Kohen Hedid, regular Kohen. They had a lottery system. He had to, you know, he won the privilege, he won the right to do Nisach HaYayin. So he goes directly there to do it. Here we're speaking about the Kohen Gadol, who's engaging other forms of Haktorah, he's doing other Haktorahs on his back. So first he makes his way around, does what he needs to do, then when he gets to this corner, they hand him the wine for Nisach. Tana Rabban. Kolo Eilin L'Mizbeach. So typically a Kohen who ascends the ramp up to the Mizbeach, Oilin derechim min, being that he's going to be turning right, in any case, says Rashi, may as well make your way up the right side of the Mizbeach, perhaps for just to keep things organized and safe. So if you're going this way, right, up, you do it along the right ridge of the Kevesh. V'yordin derech smoil. And when he's done, when he finishes encircling the Mizbeach, comes around, and goes down the left side of the Kevesh, right? So it's a two-way street. You have a lane going up this way, a lane going down this way. Oilin derech Mizrach, v'yarden derech Mar, right? So he goes up the Mizrach side of the Kevesh, right, which is this side, and he comes down the western side, like we explained. V'yarden derech Mar, chutz, except for those three cases, where you must go directly to this corner. Chutz min ha'oil l'shloish ha'dvorim, halal, except when the Kohen climbs up for the purpose of reaching the Darim Mar of corner to the left of the Kevesh. So in this case, how does he travel up? Sho'ilim derech Mar. If he goes up the left side of the Kevesh, so facing the Kevesh, it's going to be to the left of the Kevesh, up this way, he's going the wrong way, so to speak, so that he can go directly to the corner nearby. V'yodin derech Mar. And certainly when he's done, he goes right back down where he came from, along the western ridge of the Kevesh, which is the left side of the Kevesh when facing it from the front, right? Oilin derechimin, v'yardin derechimin. Now here comes a cryptic statement. He goes up the right side, comes down the right side. What do you mean? I thought he's going up the left side, the western ridge of the Kevesh, which is really, you know, when you're going up, the Kohen, from the Kohen's perspective, going up is to his left. Says the Gemara, derech imin, why are you calling it the right? Derech smoilu. It's the left from his perspective. Maravina tani smoil, modify it, change the girsa to smoil. It's his left. Rava Amar, no, keep it the way it is. It depends from whose perspective. Sure, from the Kohen, as angle, it's to his left, but if we're looking at it from the Mizbeach's perspective, once you're on the Mizbeach, right, looking down, it's the Mizbeach's right side, right, because the Darim, as we said many times, like the face of the Mizbeach, so the face is like facing out. So the western ridge of the Kevesh is actually considered the right of the Mizbeach. Ma Yimin, when it says Yimin, it means Yimin the Mizbeach, the right of the Mizbeach. Uma Yismoil, Smol the Gavra. And in the first part of the Braisa, where it called the western ridge of the Kevesh, Smoil, it meant in terms of the person's perspective going up, it's to his left. So all depends on, you know, which side you're looking from. Says the Gemara Vinisni, why not just be consistent? Either reference everything from the Mizbeach's perspective or from the person's perspective. Why are we sort of shifting midway? Vinisni, the Braisa should state it consistently. Either the first and second part of the Braisa from the Mizbeach's perspective or or both from the Kohen's perspective going up. Kasha, we leave it as an unresolved question. Okay, so in a nutshell, what took place on this corner, the Darim Marav corner? Three things on top, three things on bottom. On bottom we have the Chatas Oif, the Agoshes, and the Shiri Adam. On top we have the Nisach HaMaim, Hayayin, and Oilas Oif. When they needed some extra space, we spoke about the long throw of the Kohen over to the Beis HaDoshen, and explained why, although typically you encircle to get anywhere, you go there, Achimin, but regarding these three things, we make exception, we go directly to that corner. Okay, let's go back to discuss the Chatas Oif in greater detail. Chatas Oif was done at this corner, as we said, Dori Marev, Chatas Oif, Kesed Oif, and how would they process the Chatas Oif? Allah, Kevesh, Bono, the Soiv, climbs up the Kevesh, turns off to the mini ramp. Bola, the Karen, Dremis, Mizrachis, which some say has to be fixed to Dremis, Maravis, as we explained, that's Dori Marev. And as we discussed yesterday, there are three steps in the Chatas Oif Hakrova process. One is the Malika, removal of the head of the bird, like a reverse shchita. Shchita is done from the neck, malika is done from the back of the neck, using the Kohen's sharp thumbnail. Then we have the hazo'ah, where the Kohen clutches the bird itself and sprays the dam directly to the mizbeach. Then we have mitzvah, where he squeezes the body of the bird onto the wall of the mizbeach and allows blood to trickle down. So we have malika, hazo'ah, and mitzvah. Says the Mishnah, he would remove the head through doing a malika process. Memul arpa, opposite the oirif. Oirif is the back of the head, and the malika took place at the neck, which is below the back of the head, so opposite the oirif. Although he does malika, but it's not a complete severance. Rashi says the bird has two simanim, the esophagus and the trachea. So he would only do one simon and leave it still connected to the body. As opposed to the oilasa oif, as we're going to see the next Mishnah, where the malika executes a complete severance of Roish and Guf. Next phase is Hazo Umaza Midom Al Kemer Mizbech. He takes the animal, the bird, stretches the dam onto the wall of the Mizbech, and as we discussed, it's the Doraim Marev corner on the lower part. What about the leftover blood? Shiori Hadam Hoya Mismatze El Yisoid would be squeezed and allowed to trickle down to the foundation, the bottom of the Mizbech. Only thing that arrives at the Mizbeach is the blood, as we said. The rest of the bird is consumed by the Kohen as part of the, kapara process. Tana Rabban. V'hiza midam achatos. Miguv achatos. The azor must be directly from the body of the bird. You don't use your finger and spray it like by the animal korbanos or in a kli. No, directly. Direct flight from the bird to the Mizbeach. Miguv achatos. Okay, so how do you do that? He grabs hold of the head and the body as one unit, umaza, and sprays the blood on the wall of the mizbeach. Wulei al kira kevesh, not on the wall of the kevesh, not on the wall of the heichol, the ulam, but rather on the mizbeach. Wulei al kira heichol, wulei al kira ulam, ve'eze. Now, sure, the mizbeach, but the upper part or lower part? Zekir ha-tachten, the lower part. How do we know? Maybe the upper part. Maybe the upper part. In fact, I can perhaps substantiate that it should be the upper part based on a logic, based on kavachemer. V'dinu, look, uma behema. Let's shift for a second to the animal karbonis. We have the chatos behema, whose blood is applied up on the corners, if you remember, right? On the corner of the middle, on the top of the mizbeach. We have the oilas behema, the oila animal, whose blood is applied on the bottom, near the yisoid. So that would be a basis for a kavachemer as follows. Uma behema shaylo salamat, even by the animal karbonis, where the oila is on the bottom, still chatos alamala, chatos goes up. Certainly by the birds, oiv, sheilos alamala, where the oila is processed on top. Ein adin, wouldn't you agree that the chatos as well should be on top? So if the oila is on top, as we're going to see later in the Gemara, certainly the chatos. Here comes the answer. No. Vanishar badam yimotzei el yisoid ha-mizbeach. The leftovers is going to be squeezed and it's going to trickle. Where to? El yisoid ha-mizbeach. It's going to trickle to the yisoid. Right? The foundation, the little step on the bottom of the mizbeach near the floor. So that requires the blood to be applied on the lower part of the mizbeach, so that it trickles down to the yisoid, because if it's done on the upper part of the mizbeach, it can very well be above the ledge. And the ledge would get in the way, would not allow the blood to trickle down to the yisoid. Remember, there's a yisoid on the bottom. And then the mizbeach sort of rides up, right? The wall rides up. Then we have, above the halfway mark, we have something called a soivev. Look, they had them walk around. It's a walkway, a ledge. And then you have the next part of the mizbeach wall until you get to the top. Imagine you do it on top, it can very well be over the ledge, and the blood would just trickle and stop right there. It wouldn't go down to the yisoid. Apparently, the proper place for application of the dam is below the halfway marker, directly above the yisoid, which allows the mitzvah, the trickling, to land on the yisoid. Kira, you need to utilize that wall section, shashirayin shaloi mismatzim liyisayid, which will allow the leftover, the trickling blood, to trickle down to the yisayid. V'ezezeh, what does that have to be? Must be kira tachton, the lower part of that wall. Ask the Gemara. This pasuk speaks about mitzvah, which is phase 3. We're talking about hazah, which is phase 2. Maybe hazah takes place on top of mitzvah, on the bottom. V'ema, perhaps you can suggest. Sorry, v'nevet meiloi. Let him do the hazah phase 2 upstairs. Well, then after mitzvah, then do mitzvah. Phase 3 downstairs. What's the problem? Amarava. The pasuk here is alluding to phase 2 and phase 3 as well, in the same location. Miksiv yamtze. Does the pasuk then say yamtze should squeeze, indicating that we're only speaking about phase 3, the squeezing part, which takes place on bottom? Yimotze iksiv. The pasuk purposely verbalized it differently, punctuated it differently. Yimotze iksiv. It's a trickle by itself, which means to say the Mamela Mashma trickles on its own. Meaning we're speaking about the blood trickling off the Hazah as well. Not the, you know, the act of Mitzu, which is phase three. That certainly has to be on the bottom. But even phase two, the Hazah, which enables trickling, right? Meaning the Hazah sprays the blood and then the blood trickles by itself. Even that has to take place below in order to allow it to trickle down to the Yisrael. Okay, so now we know that the Chatas Oiv's blood is applied on the Mizbeach. Where? On the bottom part. Amarav Zutra Baturvya. Amarav. Okay, we speak about Malika. Now it gets complicated. How does the Kohen do Malika? Look, he has to use only his right hand to clutch the bird, to do Malika. He's got to sort of work his fingers around the bird to keep it in place and do the Malika at the same time. That's a pretty complicated mission. How do we do that? Amarav Zutra Baturvya. Amarav. Ketzad Molkin Chatasoiv. How does the coin go about doing a Malika on a Chatasoiv? As follows. Very simple. Ha'oicheiz Gapov B'shteyet Spois. So the bird has two wings. That's the Gapayim, the wings, and the two legs. He's got to keep it all firmly in place and then access the back of the neck. So it's these two fingers, the first and the second, that traps the two wings. The next two fingers will trap the two legs. Okay, now the bird is, according to this pshat, the bird is inside the palm. Okay, bird is here, the palm. Two wings are being held in place by the first two fingers, and two legs held in place by the last two fingers. And the bird is inside, and the head will now be bent over so that he can do the Malika with his thumb. Okay, so again, Eiches Gabov, the two wings, B'shteyet Zbois, inserted between the first and second finger, from the inside to the outside, from the front to the back of the hand. And the same with the legs, B'shteyet Raglaim, the two legs of the bird. Again, he inserts that to the other two fingers. He bends the neck of the bird now. The neck. That's not what he's going to do. Malika. He's going to look on the back of the neck. The neck itself is, he runs it over on the width, over the width of his thumb. Okay? So that's firmly in place. Al roichav, on the width of the goydle of his thumb. And then he twists his thumb around to access the back of the neck and does Malika with the nail. Umalka. Masisatan in the Bryce, so we put the bird on the outside, the back of his hand. So it's the same system, it's just in reverse. Masisatan at Siprim Labar, the bird is sitting outside. And the wings are inserted into the two fingers here, and the legs to the other two fingers here. Oich is Gabov Shteyet Zbois. So he puts the two wings into the two first two fingers. And same with the legs. Ushtey Raglaim Shteyet Zbois. So the bird is sort of hanging on the back of his hand, and the neck, the head is now inserted into the palm area, over the width of his first, index finger. Matzeach tzavar, and he runs the neck of the bird, al roichav shteitz ba'isav, over the width of the first two fingers, so now it's inside the palm. Umaylik, and now he has full access, using his thumb, the malika, the back of the neck. Okay, so it's either inside out or outside in. Either way, the head is inserted between the thumb and the first finger, which allows for a malik. And it's not so simple. This is the most difficult operation in the Beis HaMikdash. Zuhi v'suloi, this is the only difficult one. Nothing else that matches up. But Ika, what about Kmitza? Pretty complicated operation. The Kohen would have to scoop using his three middle fingers. It's got to be a perfect scoop, not too roomy, not too tight, also complicated. And let's remember, he has to use only his right hand, which is the only thing suitable for the avodah. He's got to scoop it, he's got to smooth it out, only using his right. V'chafino, this is also a complicated operation on Yom Kippur. The Kohen will have to scoop the Yakteris using his arms, and his, it was a complicated thing. Ela'ema, rather, you're right, this is one of three difficult operations. Zuhi avoidaka shamei avoidais. Kasois shemigdash di malika. Operation was one of, the three most difficult job in Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that's the Chatas Ha'oif. It's done on the Dor and Marav corner. Malika, without a complete severance. There was Haizah. And then there was Mitzi. Oilas Ha'oif, Ketz and Nasas. What about the Oilas Ha'oif? Very similar, but slightly different. First of all, the other corner, right? Ola Kevish. So he goes off the Kevish, upon Ola Soiv, and then makes a sharp right over to the mini ramp. Bola Lekar and Dormis Mizrachas. Now he's at Dor and Mizrach corner, which, as we said, is convenient, close to the Beis HaDeshen. Hoyu Malik Yisroishim will Oper Magal, does a Malika. But this time he completely separates the head. Umitas Dhamma. Al Kir HaMizbeach. Here there's no Hazah. Only two phases, Malika and Mitzi. There's no spraying, it's just squeezing the bird to the Mizbeach and allowing the blood to trickle along the down the wall. Okay, now, not also Roish. So he grabs hold of the head of the bird. V'hikiv beis melukos l'mizbeach. So we spoke about squeezing the bird, the actual body, onto the mizbeach, and now we have the head as well. He has to squeeze out the blood as well. Nakhlas roish. So he grabs the head. V'hikiv beis melukosoi. That's the exposed, the neck area of the bird, which had been severed, so that open area which gives him access to the blood. So he makes contact, pushes it along the wall of the mizbeach to allow the blood, right, to squeeze the blood out. So now he has squeezed out the blood of the head and the body. Not also roish v'hikiv beis melukos l'mizbeach v'safkiv melech. While he's holding the head, he covers it with coats it with salt v'zarka gavayish and throws it onto the fire. Now he does the same with the body of the bird. Bodo the goof, he approaches the body of the bird. Behisir is a meira, right? It's a noitza, removes the crop and the noitza, the feathers, covering the skin and the crop. Behis bnei hama'ayim, hayotzim imam, and also the intestines that come along with that. Rashi and Chumash explains, because the bird is accustomed to eating, snacking off other people's food, so it's lacking in purity. That cannot be brought to the mizbeach. Okay, a lesson for all of us. Erlichkeit. Vishlichon Beis HaDeshen, okay, and he throws it to the Beis HaDeshen alongside the Kevish. Now, Shisa, he does like a chop between the wings of the bird. Well, he did without completely separating, just a chop, but it still stays intact. If he did such a strong chop, which actually separated into two, it's also fine. Skaif give a melt, he coats it with salt, Vzorkel Gabi Ishim, and throws it onto the fire. And that's the completion of the hakrava. Now let's say he skipped one of these things. The only thing that's critical is the malika and the application of the blood. Anything else, as important as it is, it's not critical. Let's say he forgot to remove this waste material, or he didn't add salt. Call Shishina by any deviation that took place in this carbon. Me'achar shemitzah is dama after the mitzvah. Kshir is okay. Only thing that's critical is a proper malika and a proper mitzvah. Now, in terms of a proper malika, there's a difference between the oila, where you do a complete malika, and the chatas, which is still somewhat connected. Hivdil b'chatas. Let's say he reversed. But a chatas, complete severance. V'lo hivdil b'oila, but did not completely sever the oila. Possible, that doesn't work. Mitzvah dama roish, lemitzvah dama guf, psula. In terms of applying the blood of the oila, if he did mitzvah on the head but not on the body, so he missed the main thing, it's psula. Mitzvah dama guf, lemitzvah dama roish, he applied the blood of the guf without the roish, then ksheira, it's okay. What about if he had wrong intention? So achatas ha'if is similar to achatas behema. Even shulei lishma, having in mind the wrong carbon, this qualifies the carbon. Chatas oiv shemalka shalei lishma. He did either malika shalei lishma or mitzvah dama shalei lishma. It's possible. Or even if he switched around lishma but shalei lishma, first he had in mind for the chatas, then he switched to something else. Or in the reverse, oiv shalei lishma v'lishma psula. However, the oila is like an oilas behema. In as much as you can't have shalei lishma, but if he did shalei lishma, it's still okay. Oila asoiv. It still passes. Ubavad. Shalai also labalam l'shem. Chayva doesn't count. Doesn't get credited to the owner's account. He has to bring another one. Now, what about pigul, right? Or shaloi bim kaimai? It applies to birds just like the animals. Hey, chot chatas, oi vechadoyos, whether it's a chatas or an oila, shemolkan veshemitzadaman. So, just like by the animal carbonis, these types of thoughts can adversely impact the carbon if they occur during the hakrova process, which by an animal entails four steps, shchita, kabbalah, halacha, and zrika, but by the birds, you only have malika, and, the application of the blood. You don't have the other things. So any thought that took place during those phases affects the carbon. Whether it was shaloi bezmani, thinking that he's going to be consuming the animal or offering to mizbeach in the wrong time, or shaloi b'mkayim in the wrong place, makes the carbon puzzle. Shaloi bezmani is pigul, actually. As we're going to see, provided pigul only works if it's purely pigul without any other deficient thoughts. Otherwise, it's just puzzle, not pigul. So it's pretty much runs along the same rules as the animal carbonis. We'll have a quick review all the way to the end of the Mishnah, going through all the different cases that we had already discussed by the animals. Whether it's a chata or an oila bird, shemalkan with a malika or the mitzvah, ushemitzah it's daman, with the wrong thought, lechol davar shenakol lechol, to consume something which is meant to be consumed, like the chata's bird, meant to be consumed for the kayanim, or to burn the element of the carbon meant for the mizbeach, in the wrong time, in the wrong place, chutzlam kaim, in the wrong place, pasulim, it's possible without karas, but chutzlam zmanoi, it's possible with karas. It's pigul, v'chayav and alav, pigul, v'chayav and karas, one eats it even now, it's chayav karas. Ubavad, pigul only occurs if there's no other deficient elements around. Uvashal yakiv ramatum mitzvasa, the matar typically refers to the processing of the blood, right? That's the matar that enables the carbon for consumption, enables the carbon for further processing, the permitter, the activities involving the matter must be done either completely pigul, right, or somewhat pigul and the rest nothing. But you can't have other thoughts, other deficient thoughts that would interfere with the pigul process. Let's play it out. What is considered karev hamatak mitzvah? Again, the point is, it was strictly pigul, with no other deviating thoughts. For instance, malak b'shtik. Maliki did quietly, didn't express any deficient thoughts. But when it came to the blood, he veered into pigul territory. Umitzadam chusazmani, or the opposite. Oisha malak chusazmani. Maliki did chusazmani, which is pigul. Umitzadam b'shtik v'amitzoy. He sat quietly. Or everything was done with pigul. Oisha malak umitzadam chusazmani. All these are considered pigul. Zeo, shakarei, v'matak mitzvasa, and all these, the matter was done k'mitzvasa, which means to say, either completely pigul, or just, benignly, but there was no other interfering thought. Ketzad loy karev v'matak mitzvasa, what's an example of a loy karev, an unsuccessful pigul, where he inserted some salt and pepper, something else, which didn't belong there. For instance, malak chuslam kaimai, he was thinking wrong location when he did the malika, and that preempts any pigul from happening, because it's mitzvah adam chuzazmanu. Even though the mitzvah was not chuzazmanu, or the opposite, or shemalach chuzazmanu, or the chuzazmanu applied to the malika, but when it came to the blood, he was thinking chuzam kaima, mitzvah adam chuzam kaima, or everything was chuzam kaima, or everything was shalei lishma. That's not pigul. Or shemalach mitzvah adam chuzam kaima, or by a chatas if were shalei lishma interferes, shemalach shalei lishma. All these are not considered pigul zeh shalei karev matak mitzvasa, because there's another deficient element involved. Now let's say, within the same avoda, you're thinking chusas mani and chusas mukaymei. Do we just focus on chusas mani, pigul, or chusas mukaymei interferes? Lechol kazayis b'chutz, kazayis l'machar. I'm going to eat a kazayis outside, that's what's l'mkoymoy. You have to think about a kazayis at least, right? And kazayis tomorrow, kazayis l'machar. Or in the reverse, kazayis l'machar, kazayis b'chutz. Or half and half. You combined half kazayis pigul, half kazayis chutz l'mkoymoy. Kechatzi zayis b'chutz, half a kazayis I'm going to eat outside, and a half tomorrow. Kechatzi zayis l'machar. Or in the reverse, kechatzi zayis l'machar. And all these, it's only pasul. But there's no karas, it's not pigul, because the shleimim kaimai element preempted the people. Vein by Karis. And Rabbi Yehuda, no, depends what came first. Zeklal. This is the way it works. Im achshavas hazman kodem achshavas hamokayim. If the kazayis of zman of shleib bizmanay was uttered before the makim, pigul sets in. Im achshavas hazman kodem achshavas hamokayim pigul v'chel on karis. But if the makim came first, then I agree. There's no pigul. Im achshavas hamokayim kodem achshavas hazman pasvim karis. Chamayim they disagree. Cham say no. First, second doesn't matter. Zevazeh, either way, possibly a curse, it's possible. There's no curse because there was another element involved. What about combining personal consumption and mizbeach consumption? Okay? Lechol kachazi zayis. Ulahate kachazi zayis. I'm going to eat half a zayis tomorrow, chuzazmani, and half a kazayis I'm going to burn the mizbeach tomorrow. So it's a kazayis of shalev's money. Problem is, I'm trying to join together personal and mizbeach consumption. Does that work? Kosher. Doesn't affect the carbon at all. You can't combine. Achila and Aktora. She'en Achila Aktora Metzdarfim, because there are two different types of consumptions. Okay, for a quick recap of today's daf, we discussed the activities that took place along the corners of the Mizbeach. Dorei Mara featured three on top and three on bottom. Chatas Oif, Hagoshas, Shir Adam took place on bottom. Nisa Chamayim Bayayin, and Elas Oif, when there was spillover from the other side, took place on top, on the upper part of that corn area. We discussed the physical prowess of the Kohen, who would have to throw the material all the way across to the Beis Hadesh. We discussed the Kohen Gadol, having access to Haktorah all the time. We discussed the traffic arrangements up and down the Kevesh. We discussed the particulars about the Chatas Oif, Malika Hazo, and Mitzui, described the act of Malika in great detail. And we discussed the Eilas Oif, which was similar to the Chatas Oif, a couple of minor differences. And we discussed the pigul process that applies to birds, just as it applies to behemoths. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rab.